Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those big swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On a Wednesday evening, we welcome you in to the program, and it is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you for the next couple hours. We'll be with you until 8 o'clock, have a jam-packed program today, and then at 8 o'clock, we've got the Gas House Gang, so you get more of me tonight. 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, it's Tom Ackerman and myself for the Gas House Gang, so that's what we've got coming up. If you want to join in with what we have going on, you certainly can do that. You can always tweet into the program if you'd like. At Matt Pauly on air is my Twitter handle, and that's how you get in contact with me. Or you can call, you can text 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900 is how you get in contact with us via tweet or text. On the show tonight, in about 10 minutes or so, we are going to be joined by Bernie Miklas. Time for his weekly conversation here. Have a few things to get into with him. Andy Strickland covers the Blues for FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, also the Cam and Strick podcast. He's going to join us at 6:35 next hour. Our good buddy Kevin Ryan's from Fox 2 and Channel 11. Will be joining us as well. So a few things to get into. Want to start with the news of the day, with the Cardinals naming three individuals to directors positions within the organization. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that these names should mean anything to you. Like, these are not household names. But there's a lot of people who work for baseball teams that have a large role in making baseball teams good who you don't know their names or you did not know that they existed. And so it's not so much who they've hired, although that's important when you start to look at their background, but it's more about what they're hiring and that they are hiring and what this might lead to them hiring more of moving forward. So earlier today, the Cardinals announced that Larry Day has been hired as the new director of player development. He follows Rob Serfolio over. Serfolio came to the Cardinals from Cleveland. Serfolio technically making these hires. This comes under his purview, so these are his hires. Serfolio, the assistant general manager for player development and performance. So he brings Larry Day in from Cleveland along with him. Day, during his time with the Guardians, had served as a coordinator, had coached, had managed in the minor leagues as well, has worked in college baseball, having worked at both Ohio University and Vanderbilt, and when he was a player, played in the Yankees farm system. So clearly, we know what we know about Cleveland and what they do in terms of developing, producing high-end talent, and you hope that Larry Day had a big part of that and certainly took note of what was going on and could bring some of that along with Serfolio to the Cardinals. The next hire, Carl Koshan, he's the director of performance. He spent several years with the San Francisco Giants working as their Major League strength and conditioning coach, and then the last 6 years, he was with the Dodgers, where he coordinated strength and conditioning throughout their minor leagues and was a key contributor to their performance efforts. Some I've already heard some things where people kind of say, okay, it's a strength coach. Big deal. What does that really mean? How does that make you better? Well, it's more than that. It's in today's day of, this isn't just a baseball thing, just when it comes to professional sports, when you're talking about performance, when you're talking about strength and conditioning, it's a lot more than how many reps of this exercise you need to do. It's about making sure that individuals' bodies are literally being built to perform in certain areas a best possible way, all the way down to like the type of, you know, one pitcher and another pitcher who pitch in very different ways are not going to do everything in the weight room exactly the same. A power hitter or a light hitting middle infielder not going to maybe do the same thing. So it's, and there's a lot of science, there's a lot of technology. Sometimes we talk about the biomechanics when it comes to pitching, but biomechanics exists for a lot of players. It's integrating all of that stuff together and then allowing the director of performance to work with the different individuals and put together the plan that they want to have to get the most out of their body. And it's also health. It's the ability to keep guys on the field. And if you are a player who has been dealing with injuries throughout your career, you're hopeful to have a performance director who can help keep you healthier. And then the last one is Matt Pierpont, and he had announced this on his social media a few days ago. The Cardinals officially made the announcement today, but this was something that was previously mentioned. So Pierpont comes in as the new director of pitching, and he is going to oversee the team's minor league pitching program, comes to the Cardinals from the Seattle Mariners, really did a nice job there. That's a system in Seattle. Yeah, for years, the Cardinals and the Mariners, from like Baseball Insiders, have kind of been connected as maybe teams that would make sense to get involved in a trade, because for a while it felt like the Cardinals had a surplus when it came to certain positions, especially when it came to the outfield. It doesn't feel that way quite as much anymore, especially with them moving on from Tyler O'Neill and moving on from Dylan Carlson, a couple guys who were considered those core young outfielders. So not so much anymore being connected, but a couple years ago and beyond, there was a lot of connection between Seattle and the Cardinals when it came to that. But the Seattle's been really good at developing pitching and developing high-end pitching. So, again, you look at the profile of the individuals they're bringing in, the organizations that they're coming from, here's something else that you should be kind of excited about. Because the Cardinals, we can sit here and say in many ways they lost their way, right? They were as successful as any organization in all of baseball. And then it felt like other teams out there were evolving and moving forward, and the Cardinals were just kind of doing it their way. And all of a sudden, they started getting passed by other teams. So as that happened, they just kept doing things their way. And as they kept doing things their way, what ends up happening is when they have job openings, they just filled everything internally. Well, now look at what has happened in the last 3 months. Chaim Bloom, a guy who's got connections to Boston and Tampa. He was, and specifically Tampa's where he came up through before he got the Boston job, but he is now a full-time member. He's going to be the president of baseball operations in less than a year. Then they go hire Rob Serfolio as an assistant general manager, and he comes from Cleveland, and he brings these three people, one from Cleveland, one person who has been with the Dodgers and the Giants, another who's been with Seattle. The Cardinals are now going outside the organization to bring in some very smart people, and this is something that they have needed to do. And now there are more positions to be hired, but now that these three directors have been hired, they're going to have the opportunity to go make their hires. So Chaim Bloom and John Mozeliak work together to hire Rob Serfolio. Rob Serfolio works alongside of Bloom and Mo to make these hires, and now these hires are going to be able to go out and do what they want to do, and you just hope that the player development staff continues to be augmented and more people end up coming into the organization, more and more smart people, really good people, and that's what's going to result in this player development reset working the way I think it is going to. All right, if you want to join us again, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. Bernie Miklas joins us next on a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. We're going to be joined by Bernie Miklas coming up in just a moment or so for our weekly conversation with him. Of course, he's part of the team here at KMOX. You hear him on most of the shows at some point during the week, and you also hear him on the Gas House Gang. He's with us a couple times a week. I believe he's on tomorrow maybe with Kevin Wheeler, and then Friday he and I will have it together. Gas House Gang. You can watch live at 12 noon. You can always watch it on demand via the KMOX Sports YouTube page. And then we replay it on most nights at 8 o'clock right here on KMOX. So with that being said, let's go ahead and Bernie Miklas. Bernie, it's always good to speak with you. How are you?
Man, I'm doing good, man. As always, fun working with you, my friend.
So today, I appreciate that. Today, the Cardinals announced three directors. Larry Day comes in from Cleveland, so he follows Rob Serfolio. He's going to be the new player development director. Carl Cochan's the director of performance. He had spent time with both the Giants and the Dodgers. And then a guy we talked about previously, Matt Pierpont, is the director of pitching. He comes in from Seattle. I don't think these names are going to mean much to the average fan out there, but what they represent should mean something because it's smart people from good organizations becoming part of the Cardinals front office.
Yeah, that's exactly how I see it. I thought it was a great day for them. I mean, I think a lot of people assumed that Chaim Bloom, you know, after he hired Rob Serfolio, who was universally acclaimed as an addition to the Cardinals organization among baseball people who think he's a rising star. So that kind of got my anticipation going. I said, oh, okay, well, what's Serfolio going to do? Because now it's his turn to bring in guys. And he brought in three really impressive individuals. I mean, I don't know how to say it. I know there's cynics who are going to think I'm just like trying to – I don't know what they think I'm trying to do. I evaluate these things independently, and I did a pretty thorough look into each one of their backgrounds. And like you said, they come from really, really intelligent baseball backgrounds, and not only as players – but working in front offices, but also being affiliated with really successful organizations. And they are at the forefront. They represent kind of like the new generation, being at the forefront of modern baseball and what you need to do to compete and how you have to have everything up to speed and you have to be forward thinking. You have to make full use of technology. You have to have a plan that coordinates the majors and the minors, so you've got the same philosophy, the same teaching, everyone's aligned. And of course, having a great infrastructure and a great system for teaching young players. And I think with these three hires, I was just really, really impressed. And as I said, I've been saying for a little while here, the Cardinals' baseball IQ went up considerably today, and it's a lot higher than it was a year ago.
Something that was mentioned by John Mozeliak the last time we heard him talk following, I think that's when they hired Cerfolio, was that they're going to look to more align player development and performance. So they bring in a guy in Coach Han who's got great experience as a major league strength and conditioning coach, coordinated strength and conditioning throughout minor leagues, been part of performance efforts in other places. And now I think the hope is going to be that he's able to integrate into the player development system where they're able to allow guys to, build their bodies to most produced in what they are supposed to do, whether it's the biomechanics mm-hmm. of pitching or anything else, and also stay healthy and stay on the field. That's a huge part of it as well. So I like all these hirings, but I think what's maybe not being talked about enough is the fact that player development and performance are going to be more closely aligned now.
And they need to be. And the Cardinals haven't really had a director of player performance. They haven't had a universal program in place that coordinates all this. And Coach Han is really, really impressive. By the way, he's a graduate of Southern Illinois Carbondale, so from our listening area. He's a PhD. I mean, this isn't just a, when you hear strength and conditioning, and I'm not blaming anybody, but you hear that and you think, okay, whatever, he's teaching guys how to lift weights. All right, great. No, I was reading his background, and the dude is incredibly impressive. He's got a PhD, and he's well-versed in all of these different systems of, nutrition and sleep habits and everything to kind of just make your machine as a baseball player and athlete, make it as perfect as it can be, everything to help you function at the highest level physically. I mean, this guy is like paid to go around and speak at conferences about this stuff. And the other thing about him, and to me, this really tells me all I need to know. The San Francisco Giants hired him, and they never had any kind of strength and conditioning program ever. So he built one from the ground up. And in his 10 years there, that included three World Series titles. And Bruce Bochy went out of his way to thank him for what he did, his contribution, and making the Giants physically stronger, more fit, more capable, and introducing all of these new things that, they never worried about. So then Andrew Friedman in L.A., smartest guy there is in baseball, he notices what the Giants are doing, and he says, well, wait a minute. We got to hire this guy. So they give him a lot of money to go to L.A., so he's 6 years with the Dodgers. So in his time in L.A. and in San Francisco, he's got five World Series rings. And the Cardinals had to make a generous offer to get him out of Los Angeles, but he's up for the challenge. I mean, he thinks that this is like something kind of like where he was in San Francisco, starting it from the ground up. He's excited by that because I think he knows, he won't say it, I think he knows the Cardinals are way behind the industry curve when it comes to these kind of programs. The Cardinals made a heck of a hire there. I don't know what you want, man. In that field, a PhD that's got five World Series rings, I'm sold. I don't know about anybody else.
No, I am too. We got two of us here, Bernie. That's for sure. The other thing that's notable is these hirings are being announced in front of the winter meetings. We assume, and the Cardinals have not explicitly said, we're going to hire an outfield coordinator. We're going to hire a roving pitching coach. We're going to hire a roving catching coach. Like, they have not said exactly what they're going to do, but I think all of us can assume that those type of positions that have been lacking in the organization are going to get hired. And a lot of times, decisions like those are made at the winter meeting. So I got to think these three individuals, along with Cerfolio, along with with Heim Bloom. There's going to be some meetings taking place next week in Dallas to bring even more smart, talented people into the organization.
And that's really the key. It, you know, it's all about getting smarter because, again, we just have to be forthright and frank about this. I mean, the Cardinals were once one of the, if not the smartest organization, they're in the top two or three. And it's just kind of slipped. It's just slipped over the years because they weren't keeping up with the rest of the new trends. And as other teams were just like going out of their way, doing everything they can to bring in an influx of smart baseball minds that were well-versed in the modern trends and where the game was going, the Cardinals just kind of lost pace. And so collectively their baseball IQ really dropped. And now they're, you know, this is a big project. But, you know, Bloom made a great hire in Cerfolio. Cerfolio's made three great hires that they announced today. And to your point, it makes me even more enthusiastic about what comes next when we see some of the baseball people, the on-field people that they're going to have working with their young players and making them better and getting them ready for the major leagues.
Quick thought on the Blues before we let you go, Bernie. Man, that was a fantastic win last night. I love the story of Jim Montgomery talking to the team at the media timeout in the second period saying, just keep doing what you're doing and it's all going to work out. And they end up scoring two goals after that. That second period might be the best period they've played this year. Still a tiny sample size with Montgomery, but this team is just fun right now.
You know, they've scored 70% of the goals in his four games, and he's got them one thing, 70%. And you know, a lot of times, hey, we're all used to the new coach bounce, and people say, well, listen, it's four games. Well, listen, Matt Pauley and Bernie Miklos will tell you a million times if you want. We know it's a small sample, but Jim Montgomery had a head start because he knows the team really well, even before he took the job. So there's no feeling out period. There's no learning curve. He could hit the ground running. And he identified a couple things right away. He said, you know, when he doesn't care about shot quantity. He doesn't want the Blues flinging shots with no one in front of the net. And, you know, they're just random shots that don't go anywhere. Once in a moon, you'll get lucky or whatever. He's all about shot quality, not shot quantity. So if you look overall, the Blues have gotten outshot with him as a coach, but it doesn't matter. Because what he believes in is you got to dominate the sweet spot areas of the ice. You need to get more scoring chances from high danger areas, from grade A chances, from in close with people in front and a lot of traffic. He does not care about overall shot totals. He wants to win the battle of high danger shots and high danger scoring chances. And he has tilted the ice back in the Blues' favor since he took over. Because the Blues were getting dominated in that area. Now the Blues are dominating in that area, and that is a fundamental change in their hockey philosophy. And that is not a fluke. Four games or not, that is not a fluke. That's a plan, and it's working.
Bernie, we always appreciate your time. And, of course, you come on, and our friends over at Saliga Heating and Cooling are a big part of that.
They're keeping us warm here at the Miklos home, and they've been doing it for 15 years at least. And we're grateful for Saliga Heating and Cooling. And I know generations of St. Louis families can say the same because this independent American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer has been taking care of St. Louisans in every neighborhood since 1927. That's amazing. So they'll be coming up on 100 years before you know it. And the same family owns it. Dan Saliga is the fourth generation operator of this family business. And he treats it just as you would imagine he would. Very proud of it and wants to maintain those high standards, which include American Standard equipment. And they have a maintenance program for you. They can fix anything you have. They can solve special problems. But they also have a maintenance program that can prevent problems. That's been true of our case. It's called the Priority Club. And what they do is they come out before it really gets cold. They make sure your heating's working okay. They catch any little problem, minor problem, before it becomes something major. And they do it again when it warms up right before the hot summer months. They check your AC. So they can... And the whole thing about preventing big problems, you know, catching things early or just making sure everything's working right, it gives you peace of mind. And in the long run, it's going to save you money. So go online at SaligaHeatingandCooling.com and check out all the perks that make it worth your while to join their Priority Club. Also, they do extra services beyond heating and cooling. You can check out the services online. They also have financing available, subject to credit approval. So I just want to give you the address and phone numbers on there. Find out all you need to know about the services. Go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. That's SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. Thank you, Matt.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King MOX.
It's really been nothing but good for the St. Louis Blues since Jim Montgomery took over. They've won three of the four games. They have points in all four of those games. They got a great win yesterday against Winnipeg, 4-1, back at tomorrow against Calgary. To talk all things Blues, happy to welcome back onto the program. You see him on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, working as the ringside reporter on Blues Telecast. He's also the co-host of the absolutely fantastic Cam and Strick podcast. He is our friend Andy Strickland. Andy, thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. How are you tonight?
I am good as well. It's a tiny sample size, four games, but so far so good. Are you able to say yet what we've seen from the Blues in these first four games? What's real? What is something that Jim Montgomery has installed or whatever that fans can feel confident is something that's going to kind of be the way this team is moving forward?
Well, you hope so. I mean, we've seen this movie before, you know, over the years here in St. Louis. I mean, Blues fans are used to this when you get the new coach, you know, bump, you know, whether it was Andy Murray, it didn't really matter. You go down the line. I mean, even when Davis Payne came here, the team won a bunch of games. After he took over, he got a contract extension. You know, Ken Hitchcock won a Jack Adams the first or second year he was here as coach of the year. You know what happened with Craig Berube. So, we've seen this, but at the same time, this is a guy who, in Jim Montgomery, who's a good coach. And you look at his winning percentage since he's coming to the NHL, you know, the fact that he won at every level even prior to coming to the National Hockey League. But, you know, statistically, his teams have always ranked near the top defensively in all the important defensive categories, I mean, year after year. And since he's gotten here, the team's given up, I think, six goals in four games. So, the defensive part of it is really standing out to me just in terms of how structured they look, how committed they are. They're blocking shots, tracking back. They're responsible in the offensive zone, too, to the point where they're not getting beat coming back up the ice and giving up odd man rushes, certainly not to the extent that they were earlier in the year. So it's making it a little easier on the goaltender. I mean, you looked at you know, Joel Hofer last night. He had he saw 23 shots against, you know, one of the highest scoring teams in the league, in the Winnipeg Jets, even though they're struggling a little bit. So, listen, defensively, that's what stands out first and foremost. They look quicker, but they're having fun, and you know, they look like a confident hockey team right now.
You mentioned the defense, and we saw the top defensive pairing of Broberg and Parayko. How good can those two guys together be?
Well, they can be really good because they can defend. I mean, that's why Colton Parayko's on, you know, Team Canada, and I said this several weeks ago that he was going to end up making that roster. People thought I was crazy, but, you know, you talk to people connected to Hockey Canada, and his name came up routinely since the beginning. I mean, it wasn't like he's a late ad. You know, they had him on the radar from the beginning, and I won't be surprised if he ends up representing Canada in the Olympics, too, coming up in 2026. But Broberg, obviously, the skating, his ability to defend, his stick defending is incredible, just in terms of how he breaks up plays, his stick positioning. You know, he can recover with his skating, but he's very intelligent, too, in terms of how he defends. And then you look at what he does when he has the puck on his stick in terms of his ability to get up ice and to be creative and make plays off the rush. He is just getting better and better. And the fact that they lost him for 12 games earlier in the year and the fact that he's come back and just picked up where he left off has been really impressive. I think there's only been two games on the season that Philip Broberg has been a minus player. So he's pretty much plus or even every single night. You know what you're going to get from him, and you know what you're going to get from Colton Parayko. He's among the best, if not the best, true defender in the National Hockey League in terms of going up against elite players and shutting them down game after game and night after night. He's been doing it for a while. People on the inside with the NHL, people who work for teams, who study it routinely on a daily basis, man, they truly have so much respect for his ability to defend. He's got the size, obviously, and it's good to see him now get that credibility and that recognition that has probably, you know, been a little bit long overdue for Colton Parayko.
That second period yesterday was really good. They got 19 shots on goal. They scored two goals in 39 seconds. And they were playing really good hockey and weren't scoring goals. And they were told, just stick with what you're doing and it's all going to work out. And it did get that way. Is that, especially from an offensive standpoint, is that really what it's supposed to look like under Jim Montgomery?
Well, they were pushing, right? And you just knew it was a matter of time. At some point, they were going to get rewarded. I think, you know, Montgomery talked about it after the game. That was his message to the team on the bench, that don't stop. You got to reward yourself for how well they had played up to that point. And they just smothered them. I mean, this is a real good team in Winnipeg. They've lost four straight. I know that they are struggling, but there was no way they were going to keep up the 15-1 pace that they got off to anyway, and winning 15 out of the first 16, whatever it was. So they weren't going to be able to maintain that, but and you knew they'd come back to earth a little bit. But for the Blues to just dominate them, I mean, it was essentially a shutout, Matt, when you look at it. I mean, I know they scored their goal, but just really impressive in terms of how they played. And, yeah, you know, you get the timely goals when you're playing the right way and you're committed to playing that way from the beginning throughout the course of the game, then you're going to give yourself a chance. Look, the Blues have more talent than people realize on their roster right now. They're not the most talented team, but they're not a team that lacks talent either. They've got players who can play. And, you know, you look at a guy like Scotty Perunovich last night. He comes in, doesn't play a ton, but gets a couple of assists. Late add for a veteran guy like Justin Faulk. You don't know what you're going to get out of Perunovich and what the team is going to look like defensively without Faulk. You know, that's a real good sign there, too. And now Joel Hofer, too. We talked about Hofer and Binnington coming into the season being that 1-2 punch. You know, he struggled a little bit for a handful of games, but now he's back on track with back-to-back real quality performances. And that's got to be the strength of this team. It's got to be their goaltending, because they are really, really good back there.
Yeah, and you have to feel good for Hofer being a Winnipeg guy, being able to go do that in his hometown. And even before the game, Montgomery talked about how it's a special opportunity for him to be able to play there. He'd played there before, didn't have the kind of success that he liked. And then yesterday, like you said, it was almost a shutout. It was a really good performance from Hofer. And he and Binnington have the opportunity to be a special tandem.
I think Hofer had a shutout against Winnipeg in one of his first career starts. It was at home, and he had to leave the game for an equipment issue. I'm going off the top of my head here, and Thomas Greiss came in the game for like a minute or two and didn't give up a goal, but Hofer didn't get credit for the shutout because he left the game for a couple of minutes. So he has played well against Winnipeg before. So, you know, it's but again, listen, they are a legit, you know, 1-2 punch. You're not going to find too many tandems in the NHL that are as strong as what the Blues have. And I said that coming into the season and took some heat for it because, you know, they weren't playing great at the time. And, you know, maybe the goaltending didn't look as strong as maybe we thought that it would be or suggested that it would be. And people were taking shots. But now they're seeing it. And this is sustainable. I truly think that these two are this good. And Jordan Binnington, obviously, now being the number one goaltender, make no mistake, he's the top goaltender for Canada coming up in that Four Nations tournament. He'll be the guy. And you just hope he can go there and have success. I'm like everyone else. I'd love to see USA win it. But I'd like to see Binnington go there and play well and see where this team is at come February when they head off to the Four Nations. I mean, are they truly able to put themselves in position to get back in the playoffs? The West is open to me. You know, Winnipeg was the one dominating team coming into the season, you know, throughout the first, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks of the year. And now they've come back down to earth. You know, Colorado, listen, they've been a little bit up and down, but you got to take them seriously. Dallas is a real good team. But the Blues can get themselves back in it. They really can if they continue to just push.
Andy Strickland, he is the ringside reporter, FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Also, make sure to listen into his podcast, the Cam and Strick podcast. He and Cam Jansen, which is just you're not going to find a much better hockey podcast than that. Andy, we always appreciate your time. If we don't catch up with you again before the holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we do look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Okay, yeah, anytime, guys. Take care. Happy holidays to you.
Awesome. Very good. Andy Strickland joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us before we get out. By the way, his the Cam and Strick podcast, the most recent episode of it is, let's see, is this right? Is this, I just want to make sure I get this right. It looks like, because I'm on their Twitter page right now, looks like they're going to have Matthew Tkachuk on there. So that's... That is very good. So I'll tell you, I love the interviews that they do and the questions that they ask. The last time we had them on, it was right in front of a time that they were having Mike Keenan on. Like, just, it's a really, really, really good listen. I think most people who are hockey fans in St. Louis probably listened to it already. Okay, we will take a break and we'll come back and we're going to wrap up hour number one of the program. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Just a couple minutes left here in hour number one under the category of corrections and retractions. I was going to break at the end of that last segment trying to plug Andy Strickland's Cam and Strick podcast because he came on. And I was on Andy's Twitter page and I was just quickly looking at it and I saw that his most recent tweet was making reference to a conversation they had with Matthew Tkachuk. So I thought that that was his most recent podcast. It wasn't. It was from quite some time ago. However... it does present something that I wanted to talk about anyway. So they quoted Matthew Tkachuk from an episode that they did quite some time ago saying, quote, "My number one dream was a Stanley Cup. Number two is winning gold with my brother for Team USA." And those two, Matthew and Brady Tkachuk, they have each been selected for the Team USA roster for the Four Nations face-off, which is going to be a really very cool event that's going to be going on. There's been a lot of talk about it. It's going to be an opportunity for the top hockey players in the world to really come together. And there is going to be Blues representation because the rosters were announced, and Blues goaltender Jordan Binnington and defenseman Colton Parayko, they are the two players that are set to participate. For Binnington, he was named among the Canada's three goaltenders, so he's going to go, and then Parayko was among the seven defensemen that will represent Canada in the tournament as well. It's just, this is going to be fun to watch and see how it all plays out. I think this was a really, really good idea. Four nations are being represented: United States, Canada, Sweden, and Finland. And this is an event that, again, like I said before, I think the big thing here is going to be the impact on these individuals going and being on these teams with such high-level players and what they're able to bring back. But again, it all comes back to the correction. So yeah, from a Tkachuk standpoint, obviously, St. Louisans are very in tune with the Tkachuk family. Would be very cool for those guys to be teammates together, being able to win a gold medal, and that's what they will try to do. When we return, we'll talk a little college basketball. Missouri in action yesterday. They won in kind of a unique way. I'll explain all of that coming up in just a moment. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Continuing to take you through this Wednesday evening, have you until 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, the Gas House Gang takes over. Today, it features myself and Tom Ackerman. Tomorrow, it's going to be, I believe, Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas. And then Friday, it's going to be Bernie Miklas and myself. We're having a lot of fun with the Gas House Gang. We certainly hope that you are enjoying it as well, whether you watch it live at 12 noon, whether you watch it later, or you listen to it here on KMOX each night at 8 o'clock. It's been a lot of fun to be a part of this new thing that we have going on. College basketball yesterday, from a SLU perspective, or not, you know, a couple days ago, SLU played their game against Jackson State, and they won. We didn't talk much about it on yesterday's show. We had a short show because of SLU women's basketball. But they played on Monday. They beat Jackson State 74-66. After the game, head coach Josh Schertz seemed like there are some things to be happy about, but there certainly were some things to not be so happy about. And for me, this is just continuing to watch this team evolve. I talked about this going into the season. I think it's a really interesting dynamic when you have one group of players that followed the coach here. You have another group of players that were here previously and decided to stick around with a new coach. And then you have that third group of players, the largest group of players, that are players that have been brought in from the outside. And I think that is somewhat unique. A lot of times when a new coach comes in, nobody sticks around, especially in today's transfer portal era. Like, nobody sticks around. The players following coaches thing, sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. So this is, I have to think that just that dynamic of it is making it interesting for SLU as they try to figure out who they're going to be. Very entertaining team. I don't think you can watch them without being entertained, but they've still got a little ways to go before they are, I think, reaching their potential. Yesterday, I was really interested in what went down with Missouri. They won their game, but when you dig in on it a little bit, it's a really interesting way that things went down. So Mizzou's down 51-35 at halftime at home against a Cal team that they are expected to beat. And then in the second half, they outscore Cal 63-42. They put up 98 points last night against a power conference opponent, and they end up winning 98-93. What's interesting about last night's game is the way it went down. And Eli Hoff from the Post-Dispatch, his game story about this was really good. And I'll read to you one paragraph that I thought was interesting. He wrote about last night's game. In Missouri's previous seven games, the Tigers had seen 50 pick-and-roll possessions end with the ball handler recording a shot, foul, or turnover. On Tuesday, they had 38, according to Synergy tracking data, more than double the most logged in any other game this season. So what happened was they went to halftime. Things weren't working. They were down by a bunch, and they started going to the pick-and-roll. And it really, really worked. That was a fantastic job of coaching by Dennis Gates. And he, after the game, tried to disconnect himself from what happened in the second half. He is, as great leaders do, he tried to give all the credit to the players. And obviously the players had to do the job. And in fact, he said, his quote was, "I would love to take all the credit, and sometimes head coaches sit here and take all the credit, but I credit our players. They challenged themselves. They knew what we had to do." And then they went on to outscore Cal 34-13 in the first 10 minutes of the second half. That's when they took their lead, and then they were able to hold on. And they are now sitting at 7-1. That was just a really good job of coaching. Coaching matters. That was a really, really good job of coaching last night by Coach Dennis Gates. And the fact, you know, there was also a good number of mid-range jumpers. And more often than not, you show me a team that's going to shoot a lot of mid-range jumpers, I'll more often than not show you a team that's not going to win that many basketball games. But there are some nights where that's open. There's some nights where that makes sense. And it did yesterday. You know, more often than not, you're looking to have shots close to the basket, and you're looking for three-pointers. Those are the two things that you want to do. And they went away from the three-point shot in the game in the second half yesterday. They got to the free throw line. They got close to the basket. They're making some mid-range jumpers, things like that. And it was really good. And I don't really know what the ceiling is for this Missouri team. So far, so good. They lost that first game of the year to Memphis, a game that they could have won. Since then, they have. Last night was really the first time they had been challenged. They'd played a bunch of teams that they were supposed to win, and they won those games. They've got a big one coming up. They've got a really big one coming up on Sunday as they're going to take on number one Kansas. Can they give? You know, that's a rivalry game. You're going to be on the home floor. Like, is that a game that you can challenge them in? Because when it comes to rivalry situations, anything can happen. I'll be very interested to see what it looks like for Missouri and Kansas on Saturday or Sunday afternoon. Excuse me. That's going to be a noon tip on Sunday inside of Mizzou Arena. Can it go bad really quickly for the Tigers in that game against a fantastic Kansas squad? Yeah, obviously it can. But if they play the way they played, not so much the way they played stylistically, but just in terms of the production that they had, if they can replicate some of the things that they had in the second half yesterday against Kansas, maybe they make that a game. And maybe you catch Kansas on a bad day and steal it. The Dennis Gates tenure of Missouri basketball has been interesting because they were so good in his first year. They took a huge step back last year, and I think part of that was him getting to work in terms of getting his guys into this program, because his guys were here, so some of his guys were here. That we talked earlier with Josh Schertz and bringing in some of his guys from SLU. Gates brought in some of his guys from Cleveland State there for that first year, and then last year took a step back but did a lot of work when it came to recruiting, got a great class, was able to keep that recruiting class together despite a really, really tough season. And I think everybody knew that even though it was just his second year and he didn't have a track record at Missouri, it felt like last year was going to be an anomaly more than anything else. And now here they're off to a pretty solid start. I don't know what it's going to look like. Again, they've won the games they're supposed to win. We'll see what happens against Kansas coming up on Sunday. They've got bragging rights on December 22nd against Illinois. So those are going to be the two tough matchups that they have in the month of December. They've got some other games that they absolutely should win during that period. And then before you know it, it's going to be time for them to jump into SEC play. And if you haven't been paying attention, the SEC this year is just stacked, especially at the top. Auburn is the number two team in the nation right now. Tennessee is the number three team in the nation. Kentucky is the number four team in the nation. Alabama's coming in at number 10. Florida at number 13. Oklahoma is at number 21. Ole Miss at number 23. A bunch of other teams receiving votes. I mean, there's just so many really, really, really good teams in the SEC. It is not going to be easy sledding for anybody. Recruiting going on. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk some Blues. We'll talk some Cardinals as well. Our good friend Kevin Ryans from Channel 2 and Channel 11. He's going to join us coming up in just a moment or so. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We're continuing to take you through this Wednesday night. Very happy to be able to go to the guest line and welcome a guy you see on Fox 2 and also Channel 11. He is part of their sports team as an anchor and reporter. He is Kevin Ryans. You see him on Twitter at OfficialKevRye. Kevin, always good to talk to you. How are you?
Matt, my guy, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to have this platform. I'm so appreciative of it, like I am every time. You know, you guys are always treating me well, so thank you.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you taking some time. I want to start with this. I hope I'm not throwing you too much of a curve here, but, man, you cover a lot of high school sports during the year. Signing period opening up, just from a general perspective, whether it's a area athlete or a college. You know, Mizzou's got, what, I think five local kids coming in. Has anything jumped out at you today as you've seen some of these things come across the wire on the signings?
You know, nothing really has jumped out to me in terms of anyone local. Everyone who seemed to be verbally committed to their places for the most part. And anyone who took part in the early signing period today is continuing on with the teams that they had originally verbally committed to. So nothing crazy. The kid to look out for, De'Aaron Hill Jr. from Altoff Catholic over in Belleville. They just won the state championship, went undefeated, and he was the best player in the state of Illinois. This is the second straight year he was that best player. And so him going to Oregon, he committed verbally earlier this year, but made it pen to paper today. And, you know, that should be a lot of fun to see him at the next level. They have another St. Louis kid over there in Jeremiah McClellan. So they've already gotten together, apparently. He talked about that earlier today. I'll talk to that signing day. They've talked about playing together, and then that should be a lot of fun to watch because De'Aaron Hill is a monster talent. And then, of course, you have that number one player in the state going to Mizzou. That's a huge deal out of Eureka. That's a big deal for Missouri. Getting a guy like that, and that should help their roster for years to come.
Yeah.
So a lot of fun out of these signing days. I love it for the local kids. You know, you get to see the families. You get to see the players. They're so excited to go and play at the next level, showcase their talents. And you see the hard work every week when you're in the trenches like a local sports anchor or reporter out there every week and seeing these kids play on Friday nights. They really take it seriously, and you just feel really good for them and their families that they get to achieve their goals, which we all want to do in our lives. So pretty cool.
When you're out covering games on Friday night, are you doing multiple games or do you generally just hunker down at one?
Yeah, usually it's multiple games. And that's the best part about it is you get a sense of what's going on kind of regionally. You know, you're not just kind of hunkered down with one team all year. You know, you get to go to different games, different environments, different schools. Everyone has their little traditions, and some teams are having breakout seasons, and so you see the fan bases or the school bodies kind of come together for that. There's nothing that brings a community more together, especially in places like the South and the Midwest and the West Coast, like the high school. And so when you have a Friday night football or any day of the week basketball, and you see the energy that you get out of those kids and the school bodies, it's just so fun to watch.
We're talking with Kevin Ryans from Channel 2, Channel 11, sports anchor, sports reporter. The St. Louis Blues are continuing to roll since the hiring of Jim Montgomery as their head coach. They win yesterday over Winnipeg 4-1. They're 3-0-1 in his four games, so they have points in all four of them. They'll play Calgary coming up tomorrow. I'm always kind of cautious when I ask questions like these because I'm well aware of the fact it's a small sample size and there tends to be that coach's bump, and there's this is still a group of players that got Craig Berube and got Drew Bannister fired. But all that being said, my goodness, has this not been a lot of fun watching the Blues play since Montgomery took over?
It has. It has certainly been. And what I've been impressed with is just how much of the right touches he's had, you know, in whatever line changes he's made or the changes with the defensive pairings that seem to work really well. But then you see them scoring so many goals. You see the tempo is up. They just feel like a little bit more of a confident team. And you wondered how that will go through. Remember last year when they fired Craig Berube, it was kind of up and down. They didn't quite get off to the the start that maybe they would have gotten if there was a coaching change or whatever. And it's been a different turnaround this time around, and you hope that it's sustainable, because when Doug Armstrong spoke to us earlier in the preseason, he was saying that this team had all the capabilities to be able to make a run to the postseason, and he believed in that. I think this move that he made, bringing in Jim Montgomery, shows that. A quality coach, has had great success in the other stops that he's been. Obviously, was a part of the organization as well for a few years too. So, they seem to be bought into so far what's going on here. And on top of that, they have a quality coach, and they think they have the talent to be able to make a postseason run.
You know, what's amazing is it felt like things were going so terribly for the Blues under Bannister, and in a way they were, but at the same time, they didn't bury themselves, because right now they're at 26 points. The final team into the playoffs is at 28 points. They're 2 points behind a playoff spot. So even as things were going poorly, Montgomery walks into a situation where it's not that much heavy lifting to cut down on that hole that they dug themselves into. The hole wasn't really that much.
Yeah, and you could see the vision that Doug Armstrong had in this team with all the skills that they brought in. He talked about earlier in the preseason the amount of professionals that he brought in for this campaign. This is a team that was supposed to be in this position where they're kind of hovering around the postseason, kind of like last year. Even last year, you can argue that a couple of games and some of those long losing streaks go a different way. The Blues are in the playoffs. They were 6 points out of the final wild card spot last year. So this is a team that has shown that, they are right there in that kind of in between where you're fighting for a chance to be in the postseason. And of course, we all know hockey has the most ridiculous postseason. You never know how the puck bounces. So, this is a team that definitely can do it. And I think we're all seeing the vision that Doug Armstrong has for this team.
Final topic for Kevin Ryans from Fox 2 and Channel 11. The Cardinals announced today three individuals to a director position. So Rob Serfolio, the assistant general manager for player development and performance, hiring a new director of player development, a new director of performance, and a new director of pitching. The names aren't going to mean that much to people listening, but what it represents, I think, does mean something, because they went into this offseason saying that they were going to redo player development. A lot of that is bringing in people. And Heim Bloom brought in Rob Serfolio, and now Rob Serfolio brings in these three individuals, and now these three individuals will be tasked with hiring people that fall below them. As the Cardinals continue to augment their player development operation, it feels like today can turn into a pretty big day with some interesting people coming in, and most notably, Kevin, I think coming in from other organizations, which is something the Cardinals have not done a lot of in recent years.
And or some of the organizations that have had some success too recently. So I think that's the most important thing, is that as the Cardinals kind of move into this restructure and this retooling of their organization, is, you're going to make these hires, they better work. For a team like St. Louis to miss the postseason a couple of years and really not be really close, particularly last year, it's very disappointing. And you're waiting for some of the other dominoes to fall, like how will they handle some of the veteran players that they have on their team. But you're seeing what we were listening to a few months ago when they had the introductory news conference for Heim Bloom, as he continues to kind of get his foot in and Mozeliak comes out. This is what they want to do. They want to be able to go out there and make those changes organizationally and focus on player development. And you hope that these guys in here can help change what has been going on with the Cardinals. Even though I still do think that they have a lot of good players coming through their system, you just hope that more of them are hits than busts.
The winter meetings are going to be coming up next week. What's the thing or two that maybe most interests you from a Cardinal standpoint on what they may or may not do next week?
Yeah, I'm the most interested in seeing what happens with Arenado. The people were talking the other day about cryptic messages on Instagram. Yeah. I don't get into that stuff. I think that's all for fans and for people to speculate on their own and to have fun with. You know, I look at what their organization philosophy is, and right now they're in a situation where they want to build for the future and they want to retool a little bit. And does he fit into those plans? I know that's a big thing over in Cardinal land, and I'm interested in seeing, you know, if he does stick around, is he going to be happy if he's here? If he doesn't stick around, what other team that is looking for a guy like of his skill set that still plays a pretty good third base and can at times carry a team with his bat, you know, who's going to pick him up, and how does that change the landscape of Major League Baseball in a free agency period? Or a signing period or a trade period where it seems to be dominated by one Juan Soto. How can the little moves like that, if there is a move to be made, affect the landscape of the major leagues?
Things change so quickly and so often. 2 weeks ago, it feels like he was being connected to the Phillies. Last week, it feels like he was being connected maybe to the Red Sox. Most recently, he's being connected to the Yankees. They're able to move Chisholm over to second, and they potentially have an opening at third. And you could see a scenario where him playing a little bit of first base might actually fit in with the Yankees as well. You've got ties to the New York area. Do you buy in on the idea of Nolan Arenado as a New York Yankee?
All depending on what the Steinbrenners and Brian Cashman want to do payroll-wise. You know, if they re-sign a guy like Juan Soto, that's going to take a lot of the book, right? Yeah. And they already have Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Gerrit Cole getting big money there. So are you going to take on another big contract to be able to kind of continue to bolster the roster? Also, we all know that Arenado's a year older and the metrics, aren't quite the same. You know, or do you want to diminish talent over at third base, even though he's still quite good and still can play at a Gold Glove level and his bat is still good enough to be able to hit home runs, a shorter porch, shorter baseball field over in Yankee Stadium? That's all dependent on what what the Steinbrenners and what Brian Cashman want to do, and whether or not the Cardinals may be willing to help out a little bit on that standpoint. Because guess what? I mean, it's all about money at this point. And if you can find players on the margins, it's about whether or not they hit and whether or not they play well. And but I'm interested to see, because New York is a good fit. They don't have Gleyber Torres, or it looks like they're going to move on from Gleyber Torres. They have Jazz Chisholm. He can play. He's a natural second baseman. And then DJ LeMahieu, who had been playing third base a lot of the time over there in New York, also played the other corner infield as well. His skills have greatly diminished, and I don't think he's going to be back either. So it's a great fit. It's just a money thing.
Kevin Ryans, he is a sports reporter, sports anchor with Channel 2 and also Channel 11. He's on Twitter at @OfficialKevRy. Kevin, always great to talk to you. Can't wait to see you again real soon. If we don't talk to you before then, have a wonderful Christmas and a great New Year, and we'll talk to you after that.
Happy holidays, Matt. Thank you so much again for having me. I'm so blessed. This is anytime I get to be able to talk shop with you, that warms my heart.
Awesome.
So all the best to you and yours.
Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, see you soon.
That's Kevin Ryans, Channel 2, Channel 11. Great guy joining us here on the program, going through a bunch of different things, talking some high school recruiting and National Signing Day stuff, some Blues, some Cardinals as well, and we appreciate him taking a few moments. We'll hear from Jim Montgomery after this. The Blues coach spoke after practice today, and we'll get some of his comments on what they're working on. Also, he had some interesting things to say about his journey and his path to becoming a coach as well. That's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly as we are coming down the home stretch of today's program. Again, coming up when we get done this evening from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, it is the Gas House Gang presented by Saliga Heating and Cooling. Today it is Tom Ackerman and myself hosting it. We get into a lot of what we've talked about here on Sports Open Line tonight. We'll talk Cardinals baseball. We'll talk about the various hires that they made today, what that means for the club. We'll talk some college football. We'll talk some college basketball as well. So that's all going to be coming up this evening. And we'll talk Blues hockey, obviously. We'll talk a little Blues hockey right now. Listening to Jim Montgomery. He spoke earlier today as the team practiced. They are on this four-game Canadian road trip. winning yesterday at Winnipeg 4-1. That was a really, really good win for this team. And then tomorrow they'll play Calgary. Saturday they'll play Edmonton. And then Tuesday they'll play Vancouver before eventually coming back home. Their next home game is scheduled for Thursday, December 12th against San Jose. We're still very early on in the Jim Montgomery era of Blues hockey. And just the way the schedule has worked out, he hasn't had that many opportunities to be on the ice, running practices, things like that. So it's tough. I mean, it's tough for a coach to come in. And this happens all the time in the NHL. I mean, it's not the end of the world tough, but it's tough. You have a coach come in the middle of the season. They don't have a full training camp to implement their system. So Montgomery's talked about that he thinks that's going to take a month or so for the system and the culture and everything that he wants one of his teams to look like for them to have all of it. But again, so far so good. They've got points in all four of the games that he has coached, and they have won three of them. So you can't complain much about that. But Montgomery was asked today about, as they got onto the practice ice and had a full-bore practice, what type of things that they're working on.
Just continuing to build on our standard of how we're going to practice and then how that translates, practicing fast, playing fast in games. And there's a couple of areas of our game we wanted to shore up again, but that's going to happen all the time. As you know, you go through a season, there's areas of your game that improve, there's areas that slip, and you got to make sure that you're having a good balance of always touching on areas so your team continues to know exactly what they're doing in certain areas.
I hesitate before I say what I'm about to say, and I'm going to say it, but I'm going to throw just a disclaimer on it. I'm really not trying to just be this guy that always, you know, beats up on Drew Bannister. I mean, the guy's gone. He's a perfectly good hockey coach, had served the organization well. My goal here is not to hit a guy when they're down. Okay, that's not what I'm trying to do. But it's worth noting, and again, maybe I'm off base here. When I hear Jim Montgomery sit there and say, "Well, when things start to go wrong in certain areas, you go fix them." Like, that's a paraphrase of what he said, but that's basically what he said, that as the season goes along, when certain areas of the game isn't quite working, you go work on it, you fix it, you do those things in practice. And I keep going back to what Pavel Buchnevich said towards the end of the Bannister era. The Blues were terrible offensively. They were a terrible goal-scoring team. And Buchnevich talked openly about the fact that they weren't working on offense in practice. So that's like one of the tangible differences here. And I'm sure what he was saying is kind of a simplified version of what was actually happening. Obviously, they were working on offense. But when they were locked in on stuff, maybe the practice plan had them doing some other things. And Bannister was not looking at the team really struggling offensively and saying, this is going to be the key focus of these practices. That's what I take away from it. Maybe I'm off base on this, but you can only go by what a guy says. And when you've got a player saying, we don't work on offense, and you're a really bad offensive team, when that's being said, that's a red flag. So what does Jim Montgomery say? Hey, we're going to work. When stuff isn't going right, we're going to work on that stuff. It's so simple, it's so basic, and I have so much more confidence in this team's ability to fix issues because they've got a coach that seemingly wants to work on issues. Again, maybe I'm not being completely fair to Bannister when I say that, but I'm just so happy that Jim Montgomery is the Blues coach. Speaking of Buchnevich, he was back on the ice a little bit today. He had a morning skate yesterday and an update on his health situation and whether or not we might see him tomorrow against Calgary was talked about by Montgomery.
He came out of the skate okay yesterday. He's day-to-day. Today was more, and it was planned, it was just more of a strengthening day for him.
So it's still possible he could play tomorrow?
It is possible.
Defenseman Nick Leddy is on this trip. It's been a long time since we've seen him on the ice. You take a guy on a trip, you expect him to play at some point on that trip, but it sounds like that time is not going to be in tomorrow's game.
I don't think he's an option for tomorrow. That would be a surprise to us, but he is getting closer.
And then the last thing from Montgomery. I wish I could go back and listen. I'm not quite sure who was asking him these questions, but there was a lot of discussion about kind of his coaching philosophies. He's known for having certain things that he really focuses on and grades the team on, and things that have to be good for the team to be good, stuff like that. And that conversation went down. I'm sure somebody's going to be writing a very specific story about this, and I'm not trying to take too much away from them, but this was just too good, and I just wanted to share this with you because I loved listening to him say this. Montgomery was asked about when he got the itch to be a coach and what the process was like for him, even when he was a player and even before he was playing at a high level, what the process was like for him in terms of really getting him passionate about eventually being a coach. And I thought this was really, really interesting.
I had the opportunity when I was in high school to create a floor hockey team. And I got my buddies on the team, and it was just fun to sit back. Like, I was the best player, but I preferred sitting on the bench and matching guys who had chemistry with who and why, and figuring out the piece of the puzzle and adjusting lines like that. That got me going. And then when I got to college, I got around Grant Stanbrook and I got around Sean Walsh. Sean Walsh was the most dynamic head coach still that I've ever been around. And just the way he motivated the group and individuals, how he continued to push was relentless with his energy. And then Grant Stanbrook's the best one-on-one teacher I've ever been around. The habits, the details, every day, stick positioning, learning new moves, always pushing people to improve. That made me want to be a coach when I was done. I thought I was going to be done playing in college.
So that's Jim Montgomery speaking earlier today. Again, the Blues are back at tomorrow in Calgary as they try to keep things going. Fantastic win yesterday. Really good win when they beat Winnipeg by a 4-1 score. One more break. We'll come back and we are going to wrap up this edition of the program. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, coming down the home stretch of the program. We'll get done here in just a few moments. And then after the 8 o'clock news, it is time for the Gas House Gang. Today, our tandem is myself and Tom Ackerman. By the way, we're going to have Gas House Gang gear. Say that a bunch of times real fast. Gas House Gang gear. Gas House Gang. You get the idea. We're going to have Gas House Gang gear coming out. We've got the prototype? Is that the right word for it? All of us have retweeted it or something. So you go to KMOX Sports on Twitter, or my Twitter account, at Matt Pauley on air. Really, really good looking Gas House Gang logo. And those are going to be available at some point in the relatively near future. So yeah, we'll have that coming up soon. And we'll give you more details about that when we do get to it. Real quickly, before we get out of here, we've made reference to signing day, Mizzou and Coach Eli Drinkwitz again coming through big. I will say this, you know, and I've never been a huge like recruiting guy. That's it's, I don't know, it's just never been something that I've been super passionate about. And I feel like it has been diminished even more in our current era of athletics because, I mean, let's be honest. A lot of these kids coming out of high school who sign with schools today, many of them a year from now are going to be going into the transfer portal because they're not going to feel like they got the opportunity that they wanted or they feel like there's a better opportunity elsewhere. And that's fine. That's the era of college athletics we're in right now. And you make your decision, and sometimes it's the right decision, sometimes it's not the right decision. But in many ways, the impact of National Signing Day is less now than it's ever been because teams are building their programs through the transfer portal, not so much building it through through high school recruiting. But high school recruiting is still a big deal. As far as Mizzou goes, 17 high school players signed, 5 from the St. Louis area. Jack Lang is an offensive lineman from Eureka High School. He's a 4-star player. He is considered the top player in the area. So for the second, and it's not just in the area, in the state of Missouri, for the second straight year, Mizzou has picked up the top-ranked player in the state of Missouri. That's an important thing. We talked about this earlier with Kevin. He was talking about the kid over in Belleville who's going to Oregon, being the top-ranked player in the state of Illinois. I always appreciate when the top-ranked high school seniors in the state of Illinois are coming from the St. Louis area and not the Chicago area. That doesn't always happen, but it makes me smile when it does. But as far as Mizzou goes, so Jack Lang, that's a big pickup. Probably the most high-profile player that they get committed is a 4-star quarterback out of Pennsylvania. His name's Matt Zollers. He is considered the number 7 quarterback prospect in this class, but he's been dealing with some injuries recently, so that certainly impacts things. But again, Eli Drinkwitz continues to be a pretty high-level recruiter. The rankings this year maybe not quite as good as we've seen in the past. Mizzou's class right now ranks number 19 according to 24/7 Sports. They're right behind Georgia Tech and Penn State. They're ahead of schools like Nebraska and Florida State. They're 11th, though, in the SEC between Oklahoma and South Carolina, so bottom third in the SEC. It's just tough. I'm not breaking any news when I tell you that when you're Missouri, it's tough to recruit against Alabama, and it's tough to recruit against Texas A&M and Texas and all these schools that are in the SEC. It's tough. Georgia, obviously. And that's the challenge, and Eli Drinkwitz has done as good of a job as I think anybody can do, and he deserves a lot of respect and many accolades for the job that he has been able to do. Again, Gas House Gang on the way next. Of course, you can hear that every weekday night at 8 o'clock here on KMOX. If you miss it at night, it's actually live at 12 noon each day as a video show. You can head to the KMOX Sports Twitter or the KMOX Sports Facebook, KMOX YouTube. That's the way to do it. You go to YouTube, subscribe to KMOX Sports, and every day at 12 noon you can watch it live, even as I'm sitting in my home office recording it. I've got the YouTube app via Roku up on my TV, so I'm watching it as I'm doing it. It's so easy on days that I'm not on. I'm always sitting in the office watching, whether it's Kevin or Tom or Bernie or any combination of those guys. So that's the way to do it. To watch it each day at 12 noon. But, of course, we've got it as a radio program as well. And that's going to be on the way next. Tom Ackerman and myself will have you for it. That's after the 8 o'clock news. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.